Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of the Labor Exchange on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren with the Colorado AFL-CIO, a Denver Newspaper Guild member, Local 37074. Today we are talking with Chris Kloster and Stephanie Chrisley, registered nurses at Longmont United Hospital and members of National Nurses United. They've been building a union at the hospital over concerns around staffing shortages and working conditions. Stephanie, Chris, thank you for being on the Labor Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
Great, thank you. We'll start with Stephanie. Why did you decide to become a registered nurse? And is it what you expected when you were first getting interested in that career?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. So I have, a pretty standard answer that a lot of people have who got into nursing. I got into it to help people. I had spent the majority of my working career in restaurants and decided to pivot towards something that I felt was really helping people and really could make a difference in people's lives. And so later in my professional career, I pivoted towards healthcare and became a registered nurse. There are a lot of things that are what I expected going into it. And there's certainly a lot that, took me by surprise. We don't learn, we aren't taught a lot about the moral injury that, we see on the daily, in healthcare and increasingly so, particularly with, what we've seen with the pandemic. And so, a lot of what we've seen in the last few years has certainly taken me by surprise.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris. How long have you been in this career and can you describe the work that you do?
First of all, thanks for having me. I have been a nurse for coming up on 33 years. I spent the first 32 years as an ICU nurse. And this last year, I transitioned into the post anesthesia care unit, which is a recovery room. And what I do there is, people have just had surgery. I am with them as they wake up, get them, back to where they're kind of their baseline stable, and then either bring them if they're going to be admitted to the hospital or to day surgery if they're getting to go home. And so that's what I do now.
Yeah, that's really great. What do you think about your previous work in the ICU unit prepared you for this this change?
A lot of recovery rooms require that you have ICU experience before you come to work there, mostly because people are, they have, you need to make sure that they're breathing, that they're, that their airway, that they can protect that, that their vital signs are back to their baseline and stable. And so, that was so much of what I did for those 32 years, in the ICU. You're with those patients for 12 hours and, you're with, people who are stable and people who are unstable. And, your question to Stephanie about, whether it was what I thought it was, how it had changed. I think that was a big push for me getting involved in unionizing the nurses at Longmont United. When I started, it really was, you're taking care of people and, you're helping people, but you're also, you're a patient advocate and you get to know that patient and you're that family's advocate as well. And as time had gone on, it was, there were less and less hours in the day, less and less resources to do those things that, that I feel are so important.
Yeah, that reminds me just of the work with the Chicago's Teachers Union. There's a concept of bargaining for the common good where you, as a labor union, you're bargaining based on what your patients need or the advocacy that you want to be able to do with them. Patient ratios can be a part of that. And so that's, very interesting to me. I want to talk about the work you've done to form a union. As previously reported, you all voted back in July on whether to form a union or not. And that vote has largely been tied up since then. Can one of you give me a summary of the campaign so far? What made you start this effort? You touched on that, Chris. And what is happening now?
Sure, I can jump in there. So we really, if you think back, we were acquired by Centura now over 5 years ago. It wasn't official at that point, but really that was the start of our campaign essentially, because that was when we started seeing resources chip away. It was when we started having to do more with less. And it was almost this death by a thousand cuts. Every day there were these little changes that ended up being big changes in terms of patient care and patient safety and our own safety as well. And so then a couple of years ago now, we really started talking around what can we do to protect ourselves. And this was prior to COVID. And we started the conversations of, okay, what does unionizing look like in the hospital? And we started that work. And then when COVID hit, it was this insult to injury that we had been warning about, that we had been saying there, we can't take a tipping point at this point because we're already so close to the edge of breaking that, that something else will really break us. And that's essentially what happened. And so then, we started really campaigning in earnest. And 7 months ago, as you said, we had our election, we had a mail-in election, and we have yet to have a final vote count in that election. Now, 7 months later, the hospital has been, insistent on delaying that vote. We're now up to the federal level of the NLRB and awaiting their decision. And at this point, it's really a sit back and wait and continue to campaign, working as the union that we know we will be, without having that finalized count.
Yeah. And I want to pull out a few threads there that you, you talked about. One is that, I think most folks think about this rise in organizing, especially in the healthcare space, and they do tie it directly to the pandemic. But what I find interesting is that you saw concerns well before the pandemic hit that were very concerning for you in the work on the job. So I think that's something that maybe people aren't necessarily fully aware of. And I also wanted to just ask about the delays, and maybe Chris, if you want to come in on this, what is it meant to have to wait 7 months from that point where you felt that, you know, you'd get a result potentially in a matter of days or weeks?
Right. It's been beyond frustrating. It's hard to, you know, to watch the hospital continue to, or Centura in the hospital, to continue appealing decisions that have been made by you know, regional board directors, and you know, and to continue to fight, you know, they continue to fight against that. And I think, you know, one of the things that happens is that you know, we've continued to lose nurses. I think that I know that I'm approached at the hospital by other supporters of, you know, of our union. What's going on? What have you heard? And, you know, and it's hard to sit and say, we're still waiting, you know, and because it is, you know, as Steph said, it's kind of at a level now where, you know, the hospital and the union had a, you know, a finite time to, you know, to either, well, I guess the hospital had, they used their time and then, you know, to appeal that decision. Then the union had a certain number of days to, you know, put their position on that. And then, at this point, there is no time limit to how long it can take them to make this final decision. And so we just, you know, we're just kind of, we're still out there with leaflets and we've got the yard sign, you know, campaign going now. And, you know, we're trying to do things to keep it, you know, to keep our message out there. I wanted to kind of kick in on one of the things that you had said and that Stephanie had said was, you know, the fact that, you know, this really did begin unofficially 5 years ago. There were town halls, there were surveys that Centura and Longmont United have, where we all went, and I feel like, you know, I'll never stop saying that for 5 years, I said these things. I said, you know, you can't treat nurses this way. You can't treat CNAs this way. you can't staff according to some matrix that requires people to do more with less. And, you know, said it for years and years, and it fell on deaf ears. And I think that, you know, as this time has drawn out where, you know, we're waiting for this decision, I've started to say that there so many nurses who have left didn't want to leave. I mean, they loved working at Longmont United, but there came a point where it was like, I can't provide the care that I want to provide, that, you know, there are things that aren't safe. There are, you know, they moved on. And so I think that is another thing that it, you know, has been a frustration to know that we said all of these things 5 years ago, and you know, corporate healthcare has created this problem.
Yeah, and also just the frustration of having it delayed so that you'd rather be in negotiations talking about real issues and how you can retain staff. And I think that, you know, another good example, not to just kind of go on tangents, but the UPS has been done better at retaining because they have a unionized workforce versus FedEx, a famously non-union outfit. And so I think similarly, if we had some negotiations starting years ago, potentially some of this could have been averted. I do want to bring up something else I found interesting. So there's this tool called laborlab.us. That's the web address. It was created to help track spending on anti-union campaigns. Anyone can go there. There's a map to look things up. And so when I was going there under the, you know, Labor Management and Reporting and Disclosure Act, these consultants have to file with the Department of Labor. I'm bringing this up because when I looked at Colorado, one of the few that are listed there was your hospital with Healthcare Labor Solutions, a firm out of Texas. And maybe I'll kick this to Stephanie. I was wondering, what has your experience been dealing with this outside firm? And just really interested in what's the contact been like? Is it the firm directly, or are they advising local managers who are the ones that are interacting with the workers day to day?
Sure. So boy, it would have been nice to know that information about 9 months ago, when we were really campaigning hard. So, we haven't seen them in quite a while. You know, our election already happened. So, kind of once the election happens, they disappear. But when we were in earnestly campaigning for the election, we had some outside union busters from that firm, that I assume from that firm, walking through the hospital, doing so-called classes and discussions on what unionizing means. And it was very much spun with a union busting theme. Management strongly urged employees to go to these meetings, to go to these classes, to learn about unions, knowing full well that these were with an anti-union spin. Our management also was very involved in the union busting. We had at our daily huddles in the morning, we were given flyers about how unions were bad. We received text messages. We had employees receive phone calls on their time off from management, urging people to vote no. So we had a really strong union busting campaign in the hospital, and it was really divisive to the hospital as well. And that can kind of jump back to what you were saying about retaining. I think it's really important to point out, we have nearly half of the staff nurses right now than we did in July, 7 months ago. We've lost nearly half of our staff because people have just been pushed so hard through this divisive process and have, like Chris said, they just couldn't wait it out any longer. We worked so hard to make things better for us in the hospital. And people can only wait so long. That it's important to protect our mental and emotional health as well through this. And so a lot of people just couldn't hold on and wait for this to finalize. And so, nurse retention, is a really big part of what we're fighting for, because it improves the community care that we provide in the hospital.
Yeah. And speaking to that a little bit, is there been any ways that you found to support each other during this delay and during the campaign as you try to help people find ways to stay within the hospital?
Yeah, I can go talk a little bit to that. We've done a few things. So as Chris said earlier, we've been still leafleting, getting out and talking to staff as they come in and out of the hospital. It gets to be more difficult as we have less staff nurses and more travel nurses. Chris and I kind of joke amongst ourselves that we used to know everyone going in and out of the hospital. And now we don't know if that person works for us, if they're just there for a short contract. We don't know a lot of the people, but we do get out there. We talk to people, we leaflet. We have a yard sign campaign currently going on. If I can just throw in there for the listeners, a phone number, if you're looking to put up a yard sign that says we support our Longmont United, or our community supports RNs at Longmont United is what the sign says. And you can give a call to 747-215-1365. And that's to one of our organizers, and they can make sure that you get a yard sign to put up and support us. So we've been doing that. We just on the daily are out talking to our coworkers and encouraging them and saying, you know, we've gone this far. We just have to keep pushing. And we also did a speak out event in December that really brought a lot of community out. It brought the Longmont mayor and a representative for Joe
Neguse.
Thank you. And a lot of community support through that. So just trying to really keep that momentum going.
I want to talk a little bit about something I found really concerning while reading about the campaign that you guys had in the Denver Post. So Ellen Kelman, she's a labor attorney in Denver. She said, and not formally commenting about this case and not within the, you know, the specifics of this case. I want to be fair to her because she was talking to a reporter. She mentioned that employees during an organizing campaign should be treated like other employees. But what I had also heard reported was that the hospital system was giving raises in other facilities of the system, but had said that they were unable to at your facility because of, you know, somewhat technical term of having to keep the status quo. I think with that quote from Kelman, I see that as maybe not being accurate to what they could potentially do. And I do see an opportunity. You could have had a memo of understanding to ensure that everyone across the system got the same raises. It seems unfair. Is that accurate in how I described it? And then how did that, you know, what did that mean for the nurses on the ground working with you? Either of you can hop in on that.
Yeah. It's true that raises were not extended to the Longmont United nurses. It was interesting to me that prior to our election, emails that came out from the CEO of Centura were, you know, were just to the Longmont United nurses, vote that you should vote against a union. We want to hear you. We want to, work together. As soon as the election happened and the topic of raises came up, the email that was sent went to all Centura associates and about extending this raise to nurses to really, I mean, I think that there was some cost of living adjustment and raises to all different types of, you know, staff, all ancillary services and whatnot. And, but then it specifically, you know, separated out the Longmont United nurses that it would not be extended to them because of our efforts to unionize. And so it felt, you know, it felt very much like a way to bully Longmont nurses, a way to kind of push them, you know, I mean, by that time we had already voted, but in the meantime, then, you know, the nurses have not received that. And we have A couple of times we have, we've gone in, we've collected signatures, you know, saying that, you know, that's, we're not going to file charges, that that was, what's the word for it, Steph? We weren't going to file charges for a,
thinking, they had mentioned an unfair labor practice charge, which again, that's where I did mention, like, I think you could do an MOU saying, hey, we're okay with this because we all need to retain good nurses. So.
Yeah. Right. And we did that a couple of times and walked them into the administration's offices. And, you know, the nurses at Loma United have been, really willing to sign those petitions. You know, they, you know, I mean, you just, we feel like it's unfair. We feel like it is, meant to bully us, really. And it sent a message to all Centura associates that this is what happens to you if you try and organize, if you try to form a union. And so, you know, we're just, and I think in our ways of encouraging each other, you know, the group of us that have been involved in this from the start and some that have added in, you know, it's kind of just, you know, letting you know, letting each of us know that, you know, we're still at this, we are doing the right thing. You know, we need to keep pushing forward and this is our, you know, this is the next step. And, you know, so, I was really happy when we had the speak out event, and the yard signs, ways to really be much more public about this. It, you know, it is, it's a community hospital. It's a hospital that's been here for a long, long time. And, you know, to finally be able to, you know, to get our message out.
Just the righteous indignation when I was reading that article, you know, comes up through the back of your spine. And I can't imagine what it's like to be there and work that way. I'm not getting into all the technicalities. It just seems gross. So that's why I felt it was important to bring up for our listeners. You know, I want to give you both a chance just to say goodbye to our listeners. Any closing thoughts? And Stephanie, if you don't mind as well, sharing that phone number folks can reach out to if they would like to put up a yard sign in support of you all.
Absolutely. So again, the number is 747-215-1365. And you can give it a call. And I think that's Kyle Stevens, one of our representatives, and he will hook you up and get you set up with a yard sign. And I just want to thank our community, Longmont and extended Boulder County as well. Everyone's been really, really supportive and we appreciate it. We feel it. And we just want you to continue to stand with us, as we fight up against, you know, this fight, to protect ourselves and you as our patients and, the community as well. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thank you, Chris, as well for being on the show and sharing some of your story.
Oh, thank you so much. I, as Stephanie said, I appreciate, the community of Longmont, of Boulder County, of this opportunity to be able to speak to you and, to keep our message out there and, you know, just knowing that we're doing the right thing. And so I thank you for the opportunity for that.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for being on the Labor Exchange today. Our guests tonight have been Chris Kloster and Stephanie Chrisley with the members of the National Nurses United and Longmont Registered Nurses. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Robert.
Next, we'll hear from Kayla Anderson, a paramedic who spoke at a February 10th rally in support of public worker collective bargaining. She's a member of CWA 7799.
Good morning. My name is Kayla Anderson. I'm a paramedic for a public hospital here in the metro area and a proud member of CWA Local 7799. I've been in emergency medical services for 11 years and I genuinely love the work that I do. I take great professional pride in helping people in crisis, meeting them where they are, and working together to create a plan to get them the care they need. Healthcare workers believe that every person who comes to us for care should be treated with dignity and compassion. We believe every patient should receive the best care possible so they can return home safely. We care about the well-being of our communities, running vaccination clinics, filling gaps in home healthcare, and trying to make sure that our most vulnerable populations get the care they need. But our care and compassion alone can't fix a healthcare system in crisis. Every day, we hear the news of strained hospitals running out of bed, emergency medical systems running out of ambulances. What goes unsaid is that we actually have plenty of beds and ambulances. We just don't have enough trained healthcare providers to staff them. There is a great deal of reporting in Colorado and nationwide about the ongoing mass exodus of healthcare workers. What they often fail to report is how administrators are directly responsible for creating the dire conditions that drive healthcare workers to leave. At my hospital, these problems are being caused by administrators who are out of touch with the realities healthcare workers have to face every single day in ambulances, emergency rooms, and intensive care units. There is no reward for experience because wage increases are limited to a maximum of 3% per year. Meanwhile, starting wages are increasing as managers scramble to replace the workers they're losing, and administrators give each other raises of up to 29% on their already bloated salaries. More experienced paramedics provide better care, yet we're asked to train brand new paramedics who sometimes make more money than we do. The message we are being sent is clear. If you want to be paid for your experience, look elsewhere. These failures to address retention mean overburdened emergency rooms often tell us that they cannot accept more patients. But when every single hospital in the metro area is saying the same, we still have an obligation to help patients get emergency care. Our dispatch has created a rotational system to evenly distribute patients, but this disrupts continuity of care, preventing patients from going to hospitals where they've been seen before or have insurance coverage. This lack of choice impairs our ability to take the best care of our patients, overriding our professional judgment in ensuring that patients go to the most appropriate facility. It also discourages some sick patients from going to the hospital at all. You'll also notice I haven't said the name of the hospital where I work. That's because, for all my employers' talk encouraging healthcare professionals to speak up about safety concerns, the ones who do are ostracized, denied promotions, threatened with termination, and sometimes outright fired. They could still fire me for speaking to you all today, even though I'm saying the same things that countless healthcare workers across the country have been saying to anyone who will listen for years, long before the pandemic started. Many Coloradans would be shocked to learn that these conditions are not happening in a private, for-profit hospital. The hospital I work for, like so many of Colorado's major hospitals, is a nonprofit controlled by a public hospital authority. However, many public hospitals across the state still operate as if they are trying to maximize profits, treating vital staff as disposable in the name of cost cutting, even at the expense of safe staffing ratios. That means even more patients per provider, worse health outcomes, longer waits for ambulances, and more demands being placed on healthcare workers who are already regularly working to exhaustion to get our state through this pandemic. Many Coloradans would also be shocked to learn that because I work for a public employer, my labor rights are heavily restricted. My employer does not recognize our union, but a paramedic doing the exact same work for a private employer is allowed to join a union with collective bargaining rights. Collective bargaining allows workers to bring forward shared concerns as a group and work with administrators to fix them. We share the same goals. We all want our hospital to be the best place to give and receive care. And frontline healthcare workers who take care of patients every day have so much to offer. But because I'm an employee, public employee, I don't even have that choice. Neither do the nurses, technicians, or physicians I work with every day. Neither do the more than 250,000 Coloradans who work every day to provide the public services that we all rely on. I support the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act because it provides the opportunity for a real seat at the table to people providing life-saving care to patients daily. I want to thank leaders Escar and Fenberg for sponsoring this bill, and I hope other Democratic leaders and Governor Polis are listening to the voices of the essential workers across our state who are speaking up about the urgent need for this bill. We are all counting on you.
This has been the Labor Exchange on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.